Well, welcome. Everyone that's here today, those of you who are online, we're so glad that you are joining us. If you are new with us, watching online, we invite you to comment. We'd love to connect. If you're here in person and new, welcome. We're glad you're here. Make sure you talk to someone. Say hi again. We'd love to connect with you and maybe even hear your story. So today is a turning point. We're launching our first major large outreach event in the last 18 months with VBS. And it's a reminder of the good things that we are enjoying once again as we come into this upside of the long season of lament. So we've been talking a lot about loss and sorrow and grief. It's something that we all face. It's something we all feel. None of us really wants it, but it's part of life. And learning to grieve, learning to acknowledge those losses and to work through them in a good way, to do it well, I think that's really part of living. Because it doesn't matter, really, if you're a Jesus follower or if you're not a Jesus follower. If you are a human being, you experience loss. So life gives us lemons. And lemons are super sour, right? Honestly, they're almost impossible to eat. And it reminds me of a song that I knew when I was a kid. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flower is sweet. Pastor Greg, get your guitar out. All right, if you're a Gen Zer, you should be looking this up on Spotify. This is a classic. Look up Peter, Paul, and Mary. Lemon tree, very pretty. Some of you know this, I know, so come on, join in with me. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flower is sweet, but the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat. Loss, right? It feels like the sour tastes of lemon. It's hard to swallow. And because lament is so hard, we ask, well, what good can come out of that? What good comes from it? Why would we focus our time and energy on losses? You know, why not just skip over it? Why not just move on? In other words, what is the upside of lament? My grandma Ruth, she had a way of dealing with lemons. She came up with what I assume is her homemade recipe for lemonade. And she would start with one part lemons, which was really already concentrated lemon juice, and then she would add some orange juice, which really made it sweet and gave us that good orange flavor. And then she added the secret ingredient. Are you ready for the secret ingredient? It was a heaping cup full of sugar. And if it was still a little bit sour, she just added a little more sugar. So I could barely taste the lemons at all. It was just liquid, sweet, sugary goodness, right? And so drown the lemons with sugar. That's one way to deal with the sour taste. You know, I should mention a side note here that Grandma Ruth was a severe diabetic. maybe a little too much sugar, but, you know, it was so good, and she was so sweet. So, you know, so is that how we should deal with loss and grief? Just drown it with goodness. Overwhelm it with happiness. Look on the bright side. Only think about the positive things in life. You know, is that living on the upside of lament? You know, it might feel good for a while, but it only covers up the reality of the losses we experience. And inevitably, they're going to resurface, and oftentimes in overwhelming heartache. So that's really not the point of lament. It's not to bury grief in something else. I really appreciate the gospel creativity of all of you, of our people here. You know, this week's message on the bulletin board, if you walk in, it reveals the answer that we're looking for. You know, we would expect it to say something like, you know, when life gives us lemons, you do what? Make lemonade, right? Like Grandma Ruth, with lots and lots and lots of sweet sugar. But it says on the bulletin board today something far more profound, really something far more meaningful, more purposeful. It says, when life gives you lemons, remember the promises of God. When life gives you lemons, remember the promises of God. And that's where we're going today. We're moving toward now this upside of lament. And when life gives us losses, we want to remember the promises of God. So we're going to get a little help from a guy named Asaph. He seems to be the writer of Psalm 73 in the Bible. And he asks this profound question of the Lord. He says, "Whom have I in heaven but you?" It's not really a question, right? It's a truth that he is acknowledging. When life is turned upside down, when things don't seem to make sense, when we're surrounded by loss and grief, and it seems like there just is no way forward, we just can't see it. The right response in that season is to simply remember, "Whom have I in heaven but you, Lord?" It's the right question because it centers us on the reality of our situation. You know, when life gives us lemons, and life does, then we can fully rely on God. Because as he promises, he is for us and not against us. That God is always working out things for good, for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. Even when, especially when we don't get it, when we don't understand it. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? You know, the answer is nobody. There is nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So when life gives you lemons, remember the promises of God. Pastor Phil Print from Crossroads Church, he brings us this perspective shift in how we view our purpose in life. You know, especially when we're dealing with loss and change, when we're asking, "Why, God? What is the purpose in all of this?" In his message, Live Life on Purpose, Pastor Phil, he grounds us in two foundational truths. The first one is, we are made by Jesus. The second, we are made for Jesus. So in Colossians 1:16, we find our purpose. For in him, it says, in Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him, through Jesus. All things, including you and I, all things are created through Jesus and for him, for Jesus. So we are made by Jesus, we are made for Jesus. So turn to someone beside you and say, "You are made for Jesus. You are made for Jesus." If you're online, just type into the comments, "I am made for Jesus." You know, I love this insight. I do. Because it puts everything into perspective. Even when we're dealing with the lemons, especially then, whatever we face, we are still made by Jesus. In the good, certainly, we're made for Jesus, but also in the difficult situations, we're still made for Jesus. That means there is purpose in our suffering. We may not know it, but we can remember the promises of God because those promises are made with us in mind, with you in mind, made for the glory of Jesus who made you for his purpose. So whom have I in heaven but you, Lord God? Again, the answer, who have I in heaven? Nobody. We have Jesus. And that's good. Our purpose, then, is secure in him. So that simple truth, that profound reality, it creates this sweet little miracle in the middle of our sour lemons. And that miracle is joy. Joy, something we'd least expect in the midst of lament. Joy. It's hard to imagine that joy could come out of loss, but it can. The psalmist says, though weeping may last for a night, joy comes in the morning. And it's true. It's not just words on a page. This is the reality. God is speaking his heart, his truth to us. We move through lament, not over it. And when we move through it, it comes to joy. So let's go back to Asaph. Let's go back to his experience in Psalm 73. His lemons are this experience of evil and injustice. It seems to always triumph over good. You know, bad people seem to have good things happening. He's gotten so caught up in the unanswerable questions. This is important. In the unanswerable questions that he has nearly lost his hold on reality. We read in verse 21 and 22, "When my heart was grieved, when my spirit was embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you." So he's describing this deep fall into despair. I think he's talking about depression and self-pity. You know, we can all get there, certainly in the difficult seasons. It's so easy to go there, isn't it? And sometimes we can hardly help it. I think sometimes we can't help it. And if we don't remember the promises of God, we may not get out of there. But that's what the psalmist is calling us to. Remember God's promises. When we allow lament to refocus us, then we begin to see through it. We see Asaph, he had to go through this to get to the other side, to get to the upside of lament. Romans 8:18, it reminds us that what we suffer now is nothing in comparison to the glory that will be revealed in us later. Lament led Asaph to remembering and taking hold of the promises of God. And then he shares. He says, "Yet I am always with you," talking to God. "You hold me by my right hand." So if you're a kid, you know what it feels like when mom and dad are beside you and maybe you're feeling a little unsure, a little afraid, and they just reach out and grab your hand. You know, that assurance that, oh, it's going to be okay. Mom and dad are with me. You know, it's no different for us as adults. We remember that feeling, but that's how God is with us. When we're unsure, when we're afraid, when we're uncertain, when we don't know the outcome, we can just reach out and know that God has our hand. Asaph says, "He upholds me with my righteous right hand." We have that confidence. We have that assurance. God is with us. It's the promise that Jesus gives to his followers before he's taken up to heaven. He says, "Remember." Jesus says this, "Remember." He's talking to you and I. "Remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you." You know, Peter had that experience when he got out of the boat to walk on water, to go to Jesus. And he walked on water, but then he began to doubt. He began to fear. And he began to sink, and Jesus reached out his hand and he took it. Peter took it. And he was rescued out of the turbulence, out of the sinking. And Jesus asked him, "Why did you doubt?" "I am with you always." Asaph says, "You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory." And I think here's the principle that leads us through to the upside of lament. Life gives us lemons, but the pain and anguish we experience, placed in the hands of Jesus, is transformed into the deep joy of God's presence. You see, that pain we feel is transformed in the hands of Jesus into a deep joy in God's presence. So through Asaph's experiences of loss, he somehow has grown closer to God. And he's more deeply experiencing God's presence. He's feeling the outcome, and that outcome is this sense of joy. He acknowledges, "Whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing I desire but you." I remember some years ago, we were just reminiscing at a family reunion, the loss of my dad. He was on hospice, and he was slowly dying, and it was a difficult time. But you know, in all of that time, as I look back, God seemed especially present in the midst of all of that. And I look back and I think of those moments as being precious, actual precious moments. You know, being with my dad, certainly, but because the presence of the Lord was so profound in the midst of that deep sorrow and sense of loss. So when life gives you lemons, live on the upside. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. You know, I'm still trying to understand how I've been changed over the last 18 months. I'm pretty sure I have. Is it true, Cheryl? Yes, I've been changed. One thing I recognize, I've learned to let go of some of the things that I just can't control. You know, I think in my head, I've always known I can't control a lot of things. But, you know, in my heart, it just hasn't quite learned that yet. So I'm recognizing it better. That if God is in it, great. God's going to accomplish it. Now, if it's this something on my own and God's not in it, don't worry. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be accomplished. So I'm learning to better listen, I think, to the Holy Spirit, to acknowledge and to accept God's timing and God's purpose in all things. And when I don't understand, and there's a lot of things I don't understand, is to allow the joy of the Lord to be my strength, to not rely on circumstances, but to rely on that relationship that is secure no matter what outcome is taking place. Joy is not in our circumstances. Joy is in the Lord. Asaph's experience reminded him, "As for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge." And going through his experience of lament allowed him to live more joyfully. And in the last verse, I think he describes the outcome of joy. It seems a little surprising. He says, "I will tell of all your deeds." See, I think Asaph learns to live more generously. He learns to live more generously, reflecting God's character of generosity. He's committed to generous living through sharing the good news that he has experienced. And I believe that's where lament ultimately takes us, to living more joyfully, certainly, in the presence of God, but also living more generously. We come to this profound conclusion that life gives us lemons. So what? Jesus gives us life. There's nothing we have that hasn't been provided by God. We were made by him, by Jesus, for him, or created for a life in relationship with him. He is for us, not against us. And no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, or no matter what we haven't done, he doesn't condemn us. He doesn't turn us away. He forgives us and welcomes us home. Jesus died for us. Jesus reigns in power for us. Jesus prays for us. The Bible says anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. You see, we recognize in Christ we are forgiven. So we can be at peace. There's nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Our sour lemons, they serve a greater purpose, to draw us deeper into that sweet, satisfying relationship with our Savior, into that joyful fellowship with the living God, a relationship that never ends. And we're confident. When we're confident in that kind of outcome, even in the most severe trials, we start to experience an inner joy that eclipses even our darkest sorrows. And the upside is this renewal, this hope that we begin to feel, this new life by faith, this abundant life that we experience in moments, in times, right here, right now, but certainly in all of eternity. Our trials serve to draw us deeper into generous living, as we are called good news ambassadors who find joy in that purpose of fulfilling Jesus' mission. In other words, we find joy in making followers of Jesus who make followers of Jesus. So the upside of lament is this vibrant, Christ-centered community where all generations are drawn or led to Jesus. I think today is a turning point. Today is a turning point. I believe that we are seeing a profound shift in what God is doing through us. right here as a church, and maybe through you. I've been having conversations with people that aren't even connected to our church, and it's just amazing to hear how God is at work. God is speaking to people in this season, people who don't even expect to hear from God. And it's an unprecedented opportunity, I think, that we are given to extend our reach with the gospel to places that we have not been before through extravagant generosity. You know, we have received so much. Brian told us a little bit about Lake Beauty and how at the end, after all that payroll, you know, there's more money in the account. That's God. That's what's been happening in our congregation here as well. We have received some grants, some financial resources, some gifts, your generosity in such amazing ways that instead of depleting resources in the middle of a pandemic, we are seeing the exact opposite taking place. And I believe the Lord is providing that so that we can be a blessing to others, so that we can pass it along. Yep, I did say that. So that we can pass it along and impact the mission for Jesus in ways that have never been possible for us before. I believe that we are able at this season to reach far beyond the walls that we have right here. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive, and it reflects the heart of a giving God. So this long season of lament has taken us to this place of recognizing the need for generosity. We have been tried, certainly. We have been challenged in this season of the last 18 months, and I believe we're coming through stronger. I believe we're coming through more focused. I think we're better equipped and more reliant on the Holy Spirit and the promises of God. I mean, look around. This stuff doesn't just happen. This was an amazing work that took a place after a wedding at 5 o'clock last night. So this whole thing is transformed by people who have a heart and passion for leading people to Christ. In this case, kids, and bringing the opportunity not only to have fun for a whole week, but so that kids can continue to come back and find Jesus and grow as a disciple. I think that is the heart of generosity. And we are experiencing it right here. I believe we are on the upside of lament. And I invite us together to step into the promises of God by faith. And that's the key, it is by faith. And a greater experience, I believe, of this vibrant, Christ-centered community that is leading all generations to Jesus. Today is a turning point. So let me invite you, if you need to go back, step back and grieve, if you need to name the losses and count them and acknowledge them, then do so. We're not trying to hide the reality of life and all its troubles and trials and tribulations. Jesus said you're going to have trouble. Acknowledge that. Accept that. If you need to go back to the promises of God, then let me give you Isaiah 40 out on the bulletin board. God says to his people, he says, don't be afraid, I am with you. Don't be discouraged, I am for you. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. If you're ready to live more deeply into the presence of God and to experience that joy of knowing him, who calls us into this deeper walk of generous living, then I invite us today to draw near to God, because God will draw near to us. So I'm inviting us to a time of prayer. Please join me as we bow our heads. If you're online with us, I invite you to join us. Lord, we know today that you are with us. We thank you that you know our trials, you know our sorrows, you know our pain, you know the road that we have traveled. Lord, you are a man of sorrows, Jesus. You know what it means going to the cross and suffering and dying for us. Lord, we know that in the midst of all of this, you are with us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. And we're asking you today, each one of us, Lord, we're asking you to transform our sorrow, our pain, our hurt into something purposeful for your glory. Lord, help us to begin to experience joy once again. To, Lord, rely not on our circumstances or our abundance, but instead on your presence, which is life itself. Lord, help us to know that joy of your presence. And Lord, help us to step into this deeper calling that you have placed on us. Lord, to be your people in a world that desperately needs to hear the good news, to share abundantly and generously with others. Lord, that they may be drawn to your generosity, to your love, to your forgiveness, to your restoration. Lord, use us as your ambassadors in Jesus' name. And give us the courage, Lord, to step out in extravagant ways that maybe we have never experienced before, but ways, Lord, that you are calling us into. Jesus, be the center of our lives. And if anyone today does not know Jesus, if they do not have that relationship with you, if they don't know the joy of your presence, if that's you today, then I invite you to simply open the door to Jesus. The Bible says he stands at the door and knocks. And anyone who opens the door, Jesus will come into their lives and be with them, fellowship with them, know them, be known by them. If that's you today, then I invite you to open that door with a simple prayer like this. Jesus, I am sorry. Please forgive me for my sin. Come into my life. I believe. I believe you died on the cross to forgive me. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let me know the joy of your presence. And Lord, fill me with a love and passion for others. I pray these things in your name, Jesus.